Well, I go left, well, I go right. I just wanna get it on tonight. I can't stop now, my game is tight. No one can hold me down. I'm unstoppable.
Everybody, come on.
I'm dying high.
Pull them up, pull them
so
up.
So incredible.
And it's the incredible.
I can reach the sky.
Put your hands up.
You will never win.
Yo, how you gonna win?
You'll never try.
Pull them up, pull them up.
The unstoppable.
Everybody, come on.
Can reach the sky.
Put your hands up.
Welcome in. This is Podzilla 1985 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky here and flying the ship solo today. It's the USS Sports Center. Sorry, that's trademarked. I can't use that. The USS Podzilla 1985 Sports. And I am your captain, Cody R. Sandusky. I will be taking you along this cruise of sports information, ramblings, and other things I'd like to get into during today's broadcast. It is April 30th, 2016. Recording this on April 29th, 2016. That's why when we discuss the NFL draft here shortly, we will definitely go into the first round picks, not as much into the second and third round, because it is actually taking place as I am recording. So I don't have a ton of information for you. We know some of the major picks, the Reggie Ragland, Miles Jack, Jalen Smith, those players have been selected at this point, but it has not been finished, so we're not going to go completely through that process. But for tonight's broadcast, we do have a lot of fun things to dive into, a lot of frustrating things to get into, depending on where you sit on the spectrum. We're going to fill about 45 minutes to an hour for you here tonight. Got a lot of going-ons in the sports world. They do have, of course, the NHL playoffs are going on, the NBA playoffs are going on. Major League Baseball has started picking up. We're toward the end of the first month, actually, with tomorrow, April 30th, being the end of the first month. So we have already wrapped up the preliminaries of baseball, so to speak. We are going to be jumping into the dog days of summer as we continue on. But for right now, the first month has been jetting through, and Chicago's really owned the sport with the Cubs and the White Sox having the two best records in Major League Baseball. We may have some time to dive into that. And of course, as we noted, the NFL draft going on this week, Thursday night. Of course, they've broken it down into three nights now. It's been about 5 or 6 years since they've started that initiative, good, bad, or indifferent. The first round was last night. A lot of fun to be had, according to Roger Goodell. Said it was very exciting, and that makes me believe, in more cases than not, that Roger Goodell really is a psychopath who has no sympathy and is cold and dead inside. We'll get into that here in a minute. He called the incident that happened with Laremy Tunsil, which I will break down for you here and give as much detail as necessary in our small time. He called it, quote, very exciting. Ugh. That's not all I have to say there right now. I'm trying to keep things PC, or at least, you know, G-rated around here on PZ85 Sports. We don't always do it, but we like to accomplish it. There's enough to dive into, so I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's jump right in, and I am going to jump right in with the first round of the NFL draft. Of course, we saw the trade happen earlier this month. The Rams moved into the number one spot in a trade with the Tennessee Titans. It was a coup of sorts for the Tennessee Titans, picking up a good number of picks. We saw just last week that the Philadelphia Eagles traded with the Cleveland Browns to take the number two spot. And with those two picks, as everyone expected, it really just depended on what the Rams did. They selected quarterback Jared Goff from California, the University of California, Berkeley. At number two, the Eagles went with the other top-tier quarterback in this draft, Carson Wentz. The North Dakota State University quarterback went 1 and 2. And this is where number 3 to San Diego, or at least number 4 to the Cowboys, you started to think, okay, here's where Laremy Tunsil is going to play in. Laremy Tunsil being the number 1 recruit on a lot of people's boards, an offensive guard from the University of Mississippi Ole Miss. We also debated on Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback slash safety from Florida State coming in. He ended up going number 5 to Jacksonville, the Jaguars. Now, the Chargers took Joey Bosa, the defensive end from Ohio State, at number 3. The Cowboys, hoping for Emmitt Smith 2.0, took Ezekiel Elliott, the running back from Ohio State University, also formerly of St. Louis. He is a Missourian, so a name that is going to be familiar to a lot of players a few hours north of our studio here on Broadway in Cape Girardeau, right up the road from Gaming Ground 705 Broadway in downtown Cape Girardeau. For all your gaming needs, you can pre-order, special order, and find some retro games. Plug out of the way. these are the positions. This is the area where Laramie Tunsil was supposed to go. Unfortunately for him, that's not quite what happened. You see, about 15 minutes before the NFL draft first round started on Thursday night, approximately 7 o'clock, Laramie Tunsil's official Twitter posted a video of a man whom Tunsil later acknowledged as himself with a black gas mask on and a bong affixed to said gas mask. Someone off screen lights the bong. In case you're unfamiliar with the bongs, smoke proceeded to flow through the gas mask for a few seconds. Removed the gas mask. A gentleman that looks like, and again later confirmed to be Laramie Tunsil, is underneath the gas mask, coughing, whole ordeal, about 17 seconds. This happens about 15 minutes before the young man's biggest moment in his football life. And really, depending on what's happened to him, his entire life, like from childhood on up, this is the point where years of playing a sport, becoming one of the best at your sport, coming out of the collegiate level of competition, moving on to be one of the highest regarded picks of your year in the highest professional level of the sport. You've spent time, effort, money, blood, sweat, tears, the entire gamut being prepared for and putting your best effort toward. And it ends up being spoiled by someone currently unbeknownst to anyone in the community, really, showing a video of a dumb decision that he admitted to 2 years prior. So, as is the case in the NFL, if you have any character issues off the field, down and down you go. The Baltimore Ravens, who have need for an offensive lineman, ended up passing on him. He ended up going with Ronnie Stanley, he being Ozzie Newsome, the GM of the Ravens, at number 6, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Tennessee Titans at number 8, they moved their way back into the top 10 with another trade, ended up picking up Jack Coughlin, an offensive tackle from Michigan State. A great story in and of himself. A young man was a walk-on, ended up becoming one of the best offensive tackles in the country as a senior. So, young man, blue collar, works hard. There you go. Very respectable, but could have been, and in many cases should have been, Laramie Tunsil in that spot. The New York Giants at number 10 take Eli Apple, the cornerback from the Ohio State University, which their GM came out and said immediately, didn't say any names comparatively, but admitted that Eli Apple was clean off of the field. Again, no one's name thrown under, but this is about 45 minutes after this footage came out. Everyone in the room and their mother knew who he was alluding to. They were alluding to Laramie Tunsil. Down and down we go even further. Vernon Hargraves goes number 11 to the Buccaneers. Sheldon Rankins number 12. And the Miami Dolphins at number 13. Now, mind you, a Miami Dolphins team that has had problems in their past with players and their substances. Namely, Ricky Williams being suspended, retiring, unretiring, a whole shebang involving marijuana in the mid-2000s. Laramie Tunsil from Ole Miss is taken at number 13 by the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins acknowledge, their front office admits that they knew of this footage. They knew it was a couple years old. And that's all there was to it. There was nothing else. They're going to leave it be. Right after he is taken off the board, this young man has reached the pinnacle of his career to this point. He's drafted in the top 15, maybe up to 10 spots lower than what anyone expected coming into the night. Not even an hour and 15 minutes before his being selected number 13. Something comes up on his official Instagram. And it's a screenshot of text messages between Laramie Tunsil and someone being dubbed Coach from Ole Miss, in which Tunsil is asking for money for his mother's electric bill. Asking for money from a school official to keep the lights on. In case you're unfamiliar with the NCAA, they don't like their athletes getting money outside of the scholarships that they are offered. So that's kind of a big deal. Tunsil acknowledged in the press conference with the Dolphins. The 21-year-old young man coming in front of the media, including the media from the city he will now be playing football in for assumedly the next 4 years, maybe 5. He acknowledges that, yes, the bong video was him. It was from a couple years ago. He shouldn't have made that decision. When asked if that was a text message that was legitimate between he and an official from the school, he said yes. When someone asked, did he receive money from a coach, he said yes. When asked if the NCAA was investigating the situation, he was swept out of the room by an official of the Miami Dolphins. So, in approximately, an hour and a half, at most, hour 45 minutes, this young man, Laremy Tunsil, goes from up to the number 3 pick, probably no further down than the number 6 pick in the 2016 NFL draft, loses $3-4 million, if not a little more, falls down to number 12, openly admits to both situations that were leaked, hacked, which is what everyone's saying, himself included, onto his social media accounts, Twitter for the bong video, Instagram for the image of the text message with the Ole Miss coach and money being exchanged. Which, mind you, if I'm leaking this information, if I've hacked into his accounts, wouldn't you want to put a video on Instagram, put a filter on it, dude's taking a bong rip, put something nice like a sepia tone on it. And if it's Twitter, it's good at pictures, so just tweet the picture. Whatever, that's aesthetically aside from the point. This young man's career, thankfully up to this juncture, not ruined by this situation, but definitely defamed to an extent. He now has a bit of a sticker on him, not a scarlet letter, maybe a hemp letter, knitted in rope. Either way, he has something, a mark on him going into the league about a substance problem. He has admitted, he said, I do not have a drug problem. Told everyone to check his 20 drug tests he took in college, they were all clean. Obviously, at one point, he would have failed one, but nothing came back on any sanctioned drug tests. So, there's something to be said for that. This is entirely unjustified. What was on top of all of this, before we go into the thing that really boiled my blood this morning, listening to ESPN Radio, the mothership as always, his stepfather, they have been embroiled in problems. His stepfather is suing him for defamation after both of them charged each other with domestic violence last year. Now, Tunsil accuses the stepfather of attacking his mother, which led to him attacking Miller, who is the stepfather. Miller alleges that Tunsil attacked him unprovoked. Neither one had charges pressed, it was dropped, but the stepfather is suing him for defamation. And a few other things, but primarily defamation being the key part of that. The stepfather and his attorney both come out immediately and say, no, this wasn't us. We had nothing to do with it. And, that's probably what you need to say in that situation because, bitterness, costing a guy a couple million dollars. These are situations where, you're not looking very good if you don't come out and address this immediately. I get that you may not have done a whole lot for the situation, but you have to do that. Now, mind you, Tunsil's agent is pretty crazy. I'm not even going to lie here. This is kind of ridiculous. His statement came out, and mind you, at the time I'm reading this, which is about 8:10 on April 29th, it's about 22 hours ago the statement came out. Quote, and this is the quote from Laremy Tunsil's agent concerning the situations. Quote, to address today's unfortunate distraction, yes, my client smoked a potentially marijuana-like substance one time. In an attempt to shield his teammates from the emissions of hazardous and potentially intoxicating fumes, he used a gas mask to do so. This was an isolated incident that occurred at an undetermined time. After the incident, my client sought treatment and in the process found God. So, protecting other people? Check. Religion found? Check. Not completely admitting that it was the substance we all assume it was? Check. The real issue at hand is not what a pre-born-again embodiment of Laremy Tunsil did or did not do with a gas mask. The issue at hand is Silicon Valley's refusal to rein in unmitigated open-source hacking and the United States government's inability to enact and enforce legitimate cybersecurity legislation. My client is proud to have brought these shortcomings to light in front of a larger platform, unquote. Good heavens. Laremy Tunsil. I am by no means legal counsel. I am by no means affiliated with any agent. I don't have an agent, which I know is very hard to tell given that I record a Saturday morning show for a local radio affiliate, as well as this wonderfully booming podcast that I present to you in audio format. But if that's what your agent has to say, if this is what the guy who is going to be representing you in your current and future financial negotiations with the National Football League, you need to find somebody new. Heck, I would trust myself more than a guy who is trying to twist what was admittedly a dumb video and a very harmful not only to your own reputation, but to your own university's standing with the NCAA picture of text messages into a soapbox lashing out at Silicon Valley's refusal to rein in unmitigated open source hacking and the United States government. Let's go through the checkboxes again. Marijuana-like substance, not admitting the actual substance is probably lost. Check. Protecting teammates. Check. Found religion. Check. Accusations from a soapbox. Check. Wild conspiracy theory level rant against the government under which you live. Check, check, dear God, check. Laramie, get out from underneath this guy. I don't care if you gotta pay some money off of this contract for your rookie contract to get rid of him. Do it. It will serve you better long term. Or at least don't let this guy speak publicly. I would rather have Drew Rosenhaus say next question to everything ever presented to me in my illustrious NFL career than to have that kind of statement attached to me by way of my agent. Zach McCrite, who is on Twitter at Big EZ, is a former St. Louis ESPN broadcaster. He now has a show in Oklahoma City. He said it best. I can't disagree with the guy. Here it is. Tunsil needs to just go ahead and fire his agent now, because you just found out he's crazy as hell. And he's not wrong. That's... I get trying to defend your client. That's not defending your client. That's making your client look much, much worse. Now, Laramie Tunsil did come out. Again, he did acknowledge all these things. He didn't know about it at the time. He didn't find out until after the fact. Was, you know, shown this after he was drafted, came off the platform, addressed it today with the media. Now, it was a much different approach with the media today when he was introduced. He may have actually had a little bit of coaching behind the scenes, so to speak, because it was all, I want to talk about football. I want to talk about football. I've addressed this. I want to talk about football. You know, very, you know, keeping the controversy from last night out of his mouth. And understandably so. That's a good decision that you want to do if you're Laramie Tunsil. You want to keep that situation. It's been addressed. You've taken care of it. And now you need some representation to kind of keep that taken care of and maybe get it out of the eyes of the public right now. You've got to address that. He did have an allergic reaction they were working on. He did still speak to the press today in Miami. So he's facing it up. He faced it like a man last night. Faced it as professionally as he could today, which some people said, oh, he's being coached to not talk about it. Shows he's a very understanding, a very coachable kid. I'm not going to go that far to speak to the young man's talent or his ability to be coached, but I can't say I would handle it any different myself. I think he's handled it very well in terms of what's been presented to him. A very screwy situation. Seemed to roll with the punches and still do pretty well for himself. Now, what made my blood boil this morning as I was driving into my day job at the computer library? Yeah, I'll keep the running jokes, whatever. Roger Goodell, the wonderful person who is currently in charge of the NFL. He is its commissioner. He comes out and says maybe one of the most ridiculous things I have heard about this situation. He came out and said that this incident, this happening where a young man had a leak of private video and text messages. Mind you, again, not defending his actions. Poor decisions on both fronts. Decisions that should not have happened. He comes out and calls it very exciting. Yes, very exciting. Why, for all that is good and holy, would you, as the face of this game, more or less, come out and say a revelation of private information, a revelation of text messages, of video involving a man being released and causing him to dip on the board, You call it very exciting. Saying this is what the draft is all about. You talk about Laremy Tunsil's agent being a madman. This is the ramblings of a madman. Let me pull up some of these now. Some of these quotes come from Pro Football Talk. Yeah, this is Goodell. He was on Mike and Mike this morning, the morning show on ESPN Radio. Quote, I think it's all part of what makes the draft so exciting. Clubs make decisions. Sometimes they take risks. Sometimes they do the right thing. Sometimes they don't, and we'll see. Hopefully he's going to turn out to be a great young player. He's treating this like it's a big boom for ratings for one of his biggest off-season programs. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I heard this morning and almost stopped my car on the drive to work. This is the incoherent talk of someone who is way too high on something way more potent than what Laremy Tunsil was smoking. And it's called power. Or at least, at the minimum, he's so disconnected from logical society that he's just going to speak whatever comes to his mind and think it's okay. In what realm, in what world is someone who had their privacy violated? Again, and I'll keep saying it, footage that I'm sure it seems to be teams knew about, or at least they found out about very quickly before they signed him up to be an employee. Footage that either way should not have been released via social media, via someone else, allegedly, and I'll assume, I will still stand by the fact that he's saying it's hacked, I'll believe him at his word right now, that it was hacked. How is that a chip to make your program exciting? When did Roger Goodell turn into Donald Trump? My gosh, I don't get it. I really don't. And for those of you who are fans of the Patriots or haters of Roger Goodell or some mixture of the two who think that he's out to get Tom Brady in the whole Deflategate thing, which, by the way, I'm not going to get into it because I refuse to keep talking about it. The suspension was reinstated by the Court of Appeals saying that Goodell, due to the collective bargaining agreement, was within his rights to hand out that suspension. That's all they determined. Therefore, the four games is back. Either way, if you hate this man, if you like him for going after a team you hate, or if you doubly hate him because he's going after the team you love, this incident with Laremy Tunsil is just another example of someone who doesn't get it, who is so disconnected from reason. Someone's privacy being violated is exciting for my show. Tell me, when did the NFL turn into Big Brother? Because I sure as heck missed it. And I'm not signing up for it if that's the case. I don't even like the shows that they make. I don't like Hard Knocks. I hated that it was about the Texans last year. By no means do I want this in round the league. I'm sure we'll continue to talk about this as the podcast goes on. We've talked about it a few moments in times past. I still am not fully at grips with how I can associate my love with football with what it does to players, whether or not they know what they're doing, whether or not the harm to their bodies is worth it to them at the time or long term, etc. We'll continue to get into those things. I'm not looking for my sports escapist programming to turn into reality television. I have no need for it. I really don't. We're at an interesting time where social media, where we as people are, you know, I say common people, civilians, whatever you want to say, people who aren't in front of millions of people on television or whatever every week, we share a lot of our personal lives. These players and these officials within leagues don't always do that because they have something to protect, because they have money that they have invested into this career, into this image they don't want ruined. And to see it be sullied for one individual and to call it very exciting for your program is outrageous, to say the least. And I get, we're about 25 minutes in to this episode of Podzilla 1985 Sports. I'm Cody Sandusky. I know I said we'd talk about other things, but this just has me so enthralled and so enraged. Borrow from Mrs. White from Clue. Flames? Flames. On the side of my face, flames. That's what this incident has made me feel. Now, the NFLPA, which is the Players Association, their union, the Players Union, Eric Winston, who is a player currently for the Cincinnati Bengals, an offensive lineman, so the same position that Laremy Tunsil plays. He came out today and addressed all of this. And just, you know, here's what he said. I'll just quote it directly. Quote, "I've been stewing over what happened last night and what was said earlier today. This is what I think. Last night, everyone saw a young man's dream turn into a nightmare. The mistakes he made in the past were released there, out there, to millions with an intent to harm him. What did the NFL do? Nothing. In fact, if Rodgers to be believed, they loved it because it made the draft, quote-unquote, so exciting. The NFL invested big on this marketing campaign of family. It was all over Chicago on every billboard. Let me dish out some free advice to the young men coming into this league this weekend. They are not your family. This is a business. I hope that what Laremy said is true and that he learned from his mistake. I wish him good luck and hope every drafted player is wise to what it takes to make it in the NFL and who really has your back." Now, Winston may be on the other side of the spectrum in terms of his rationale. He may not be completely, you know, acknowledging of what was done or what was caused by that clip being released, whatever. The NFLPA and the NFL don't have a great relationship right now anyway, and a lot of that centers around this Deflategate situation. That Roger Goodell has too much power, he abuses against the players, he doesn't punish correctly. Yes, those are all things, which Laremy Tunsil at this point may be recommended to the substance abuse program in the NFL, but is not subject to punishment in the NFL right now. If he is admitted into the program, that puts him a step closer to punishment, but he will not be punished for this case. So there's at least one portion of this that goes in the favor of Tunsil, is the fact he will not be entering the league on any form of discipline or penalty for this bong video that came out. Either way you put it, and I do apologize, by the way, my sinuses have been acting out. It's very humid. I've been very stuffy. So if you hear me breathe, I do apologize. I want to back Eric Winston. Yeah, he may be coming across a little crass, and he has a chip on his shoulder and a bias that's been predetermined. Understandably so. There's no way in anyone's right mind that you can spin this or spin the statement of Roger Goodell to say, this is a good thing. And yes, I hope you can hear and visualize my sarcastic hand expressions and smile on my face, because this is by far the dumbest thing I have heard an official from a professional sports league say in a long time. I didn't think that was possible to reach, but Roger Goodell, by God, you did it. I'll send your crown made out of cardboard and crayon through the mail, because you, sir, have become one of the dumbest people in sports. And see, this is the benefit of doing things like Podzilla 1985 Sports. I can say that and, you know, kind of get away with it a little bit, or at least for right now. We'll see how that plays into my future career. But for right now, and I stand by those words no matter where I'm at, it is an ignorant thing to say. It is very insensitive to the person who befell this kind of violation of privacy in this hacking situation. The second dumbest person in this whole situation, I won't say it's Laremy Tunsil. He admits to his mistake. It was a mistake. Yes, dumb decisions were made. Why you have someone video that, I'll never understand. Second dumbest person has to be his agent. So what have we learned from this situation? Here's the soapbox portion of Podzilla 1985 Sports. I do this somewhat often. I kind of like it, so bear with me just a moment. Kids, it's Cody here. If you do dumb things, it's probably best served that you remove any digital evidence you can get a hold of. Say if you're in Laremy Tunsil's situation. If it's your phone that's being used to record this bong rip through a gas mask, delete it. Make sure none of your friends have it. If it's your friend's phone, ask him politely to delete that image or that footage and never release it. If he doesn't comply, maybe try to bribe him. Who knows? May have millions on the line. If you're an agent of an NFL player, or of any professional athlete, or of anyone professional, going on a tirade about Silicon Valley's inability to stop open source hacking, or the United States government, doesn't make your client look better. It makes you look like a lunatic. Don't do that. Professionals, if you're being represented by one of these people, find someone new. Soon. Roger Goodell, you're a jerk. Calling someone's misfortune due to released footage in a violation of privacy and a hacking incident up to this point, as we understand it, is not exciting television. It's not the way you spice up your program. It's not the way you make your big three-day spectacle even more watchable. And for you to insinuate that makes you a wretched human being. The more you know. Okay, soapbox done. We're about 30 minutes in. Yes, I know I've gone on with this for a very long time. This is Podzilla 1985 Sports for April 30th, 2016. I am Cody Sandusky. NFL Draft is still going on. As we noted, I'm recording this on the 29th of April. NFL Draft is actually currently going on. Second round is about to wrap up. Been some trades, been some moves. We'll leave that be for right now. See, this is one of those things. We talk about a lot of PZ85 sports. I want to do positive things. I want to talk about sports. Sometimes you can't talk about sports. Sometimes you have to address the issues behind the scenes. Or even in this case, the issues that are ever ready, ever present, never ready in front of you. And that's what we have. A hacking situation, violation of privacy, how to react to those types of situations, and how not to utilize that to advertise your program. But here we go. Moving on to the NBA playoffs, if we will, for just a moment. What have we seen so far in that? Well, we've seen people get hurt and wreck their team's chances, as we are currently waiting on with the Los Angeles Clippers. Blake Griffin is out for the rest of the playoffs with an injury. Chris Paul's broken a bone in his hand. He is out for at least 6 weeks, so barring a drastic run by the Clippers, they will not move on to the second round of the NBA playoffs. We've seen Steph Curry be out for probably still a week and a half now. After trying to test his knee, ended up rolling it on a slick spot on the court in the series against the Houston Rockets. That didn't matter at all. Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, as well as the rest of the Warriors, decided, hey, we won 73 games in the regular season. We probably still can be that good. And they blew up, and in a positive way, moving on to the second round of the NBA playoffs, while the Houston Rockets came out immediately after losing in the playoffs and saying, oh, yeah, we've been a train wreck pretty much all season long. We have no chemistry. We hate each other's guts. We really don't want to keep going. So, positive news going on in Houston. I know we've said it a lot. I know a lot of people have said it throughout his career. I don't think you can avoid calling Dwight Howard a cancer at this point to his team, to his locker room. There's been nothing but discontent everywhere he goes, whether it be in Orlando where he got Stan Van Gundy fired before he ended up leaving, in LA where he couldn't coexist with Kobe, which, mind you, may not be completely Dwight Howard's fault. We all know Kobe, yeah, we've all given him a lot of praise and accolades. Yes, he had his 60 points to end his career a couple weeks ago. We talked about it here on the podcast. Doesn't make him any less of a jerk to deal with or any less compatible with anyone who plays in the NBA. But Dwight Howard goes to Houston with James Harden, and the same situation occurs. People are wanting to bite each other's heads off. Dwight Howard comes out after the elimination and kind of doesn't know his future in Houston, doesn't know what he thinks about things. He'll kind of wait to see it all play out. There's no avoiding it now. You've sullied three teams. Dwight Howard, you're not considered a great guy in an NBA locker room. You tend to destroy teams, or at least help destroy teams that you are on, and maybe waste some of their potential. You're going to keep getting paid. People are going to keep signing you. Stay away from my Chicago Bulls, because you're a wretched cancer to teams. Other news, we said the Clippers facing Portland. That game goes on later on tonight. You'll know when you're hearing this podcast who won that game. Trailblazers lead 3-2. Raptors are playing the Indiana Pacers in that matchup, the 2-7 matchup in the Eastern Conference. And Miami and Charlotte are playing. Hornets lead 3-2, and Charlotte looking for their first playoff series victory in a number of years. I believe 2001 or 2002 before they left Charlotte. So they're hoping for some good things to go on in that situation. We're already looking toward the second round. Oklahoma City and San Antonio are playing tomorrow night at 7:30. We're looking to the rest of the Eastern Conference going on May 2nd. It'll be ready for Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and Atlanta. Cleveland is who will be playing in the second round. Atlanta eliminated Boston last night on a 4-92 to win that series 4-2. Talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm sure you've been hearing across radio. Even with Steph Curry being out for a little bit of time, you know, whomever they face, the Clippers or Portland, they're still the favorite. I still give it to them in 6. And if Steph Curry is healthy to come back and face San Antonio, that is going to be one of the, or, you know, if Oklahoma City squeaks it out and beats San Antonio, either way, it's going to be one of the better basketball playoff series we've seen in a very long time. I personally believe it will be San Antonio and Golden State. The new school versus the old school. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green versus Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker. It's going to be fun. And in case you haven't been tuning in, tune in to the NBA playoffs. You're seeing a lot of these young faces. You're not just seeing your LeBrons, your Stephs. You're seeing Klay Thompsons. You're seeing Damian Lillard's and CJ McCollum's. You're seeing that Atlanta squad with Al Horford and a lot of those other players doing well for themselves. Even if you're just watching some of these teams like Charlotte, Miami, and Toronto, and Indiana. Charlotte, you're seeing a team start to build some momentum, starting to develop things properly in what hasn't really happened since the Bobcats were formed to replace the team that did depart Charlotte in the early 2000s, and, you know, the Bobcats who started in 2004, 2005. Things are finally starting to turn around. It's taken 10, 11 years. It's taken a branding change for the team, and it's taking Michael Jordan a lot of lumps in terms of being a partial owner. But things are looking good for that team. So there's a lot of fun to be had in a regime change, so to speak, in the NBA. You look in, across some of the other sports as we are about 35 minutes in here on the podcast. NHL draft going really well. Moving the second round. And mind you, we're going to present a little bit of local bias in this situation because I am a St. Louis Blues fan. We are in Southeast Missouri where we hear St. Louis Blues radio coverage on CMO ESPN 92.9 FM at 1220 AM for all of your sports broadcasting needs. It's been a lot of fun to hear, and we did just witness or hear, or at least know of, what could have been the Stanley Cup Finals, which was between the Chicago Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues, divisional rivals, bitter rivals, in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Goes to seven games. The Blues win by proxy of Troy Brouwer, who was a former Blackhawk, won a championship with the Blackhawks, putting it past his former teammate Corey Crawford in a scramble to get the puck into the net to win the game 3-2, fighting hard to take that series in seven games at home. First time they've made it out of the first round in a number of years. First time they've won a game seven since, I believe, either 1999 or 2001. And they are moving on to face, and are currently facing, actually, the Dallas Stars, the number one team in their division, in the conference semifinals. I don't know if anyone listening is a hockey fan or not, but I do recommend that you do catch it, because if you didn't see any of it, there was a young man on Twitter, Solu City, something to that effect, it was his Twitter handle, one of the greatest set of tweets on the planet. Yeah, it's at Solu City, so S-O-L-O-U-C-I-T-Y. His name on Twitter is Tony X. It's so amazing. It kind of encapsulates what happens when someone watches a hockey game for the first time. You can look up the images. Of course, it blew up in St. Louis. This young man is a St. Louis citizen. He's in the metropolitan area. And just goes crazy the other night during the Blackhawks and Blues game, the first time he'd ever watched a hockey game. It's some of just the most genuine, most amazing things you'll ever see tweeted about a sporting event. He's been interviewed, of course, by all the St. Louis media, interviewed a little bit by ESPN and some of their affiliates. The man, just look it up. It is literally unadulterated joy, unadulterated just soaking in. This is a sport. I don't know what it is. Just to kind of give you some of those, some of the quotes. See, all I know is I'm about to watch the Mighty Ducks and have superior knowledge on hockey now. WTF is a power play. Yo, this is the first time I've ever watched hockey, and this blank has been lit for these first 45 seconds. White people have been hiding hockey from us for years, bruh. This blank lit. Screamed goal in all caps. I don't know who this dude Kane is, but we got to stop him. It just, empty net, question mark. The goalie just said F it and left. It's just ridiculously fun. Like, you just take a picture of it, and you just kind of just see just in this moment. And yeah, he's admitted it was his first hockey game being watched. It just encapsulates what it is to watch a sport for a first time. And for me, kind of seeing those tweets, it takes you back to what you know, it's been a number of years since I've seen any, you know, really new sport in any format. I saw my first hockey game in person in 2011 when I was in college. My freshman year of college, we went to see the Blues face the Minnesota Wild. Crazy overtime game. The Blues ended up losing. But just to even just see that, of course, I had heard the game for years on, you know, local radio affiliates. I'd seen the occasional game on television. No, my family was really a hockey fan. My brother played roller hockey in Southeast Missouri in the 90s when he was a teenager. So, you know, that is what it is. But to have the exposure in person, I didn't tweet it because even then Scottrade Center had terrible signal. And I don't think I would have anyway. I was too captured by the game. But to see that just in text format, just to see someone's eyes being open to a new sport, to see someone who is genuinely excited about this sport that they're watching. No idea. You know, WCF is a power play. Empty net, question mark. I mean, just these things that don't necessarily make sense, but to see that kind of excitement, that kind of exuberance being shared. One, it's what makes social media a lot of fun. Unlike the Laramie Tunsil situation, this is social media done right. Now, mind you, not just because the guy got a ton of social media attention. Even if he didn't have that, if we were able just to see this, it's just fun to show and share those moments. For him, what was a great moment? He really enjoyed the game. He's been tweeting a little bit about tonight's game, so the guy's been turned into a hockey fan. And, you know, for some of those of you who listen who are parents, you may encounter this with your kid. Now, mind you, not on media or social media, probably not with the swearing, depending on the age of your child, or at least you hope not. But you get to see in person, and I've seen these kinds of moments in person a little with my nieces and nephews, but just to have that kind of excitement, that like youthful wonder of, you know, this is amazing. I don't quite get all of it, but this is fun. This is exciting. It's an escapist media. I say it a lot. Sports is an escapist medium. We watch it. We really hope, and you know, there are controversies that always come. Are sports rigged? Are they biased? You know, whatever. Even if they aren't. Heavens, I hope not, because it makes my job and my play-by-play seem kind of useless. But sports video games, sports radio, sports action, watching it, paying to see it, listening to it. It's just a moment where you escape the norms of your day, the doldrums of your day for some people. You get in the dumps, or maybe you have a good day. You get to, whether it's by yourself, whether it's with friends, whether it was random people you don't know that you're sitting by at your local sports venue, you leave everything alone for a bit and you just key in on this, depending on the sport, maybe slow-paced, and maybe in the case of hockey, mostly very fast-paced action, and you just consume it at base level. You just see the excitement, you just see what's going on, and it's real, and it's fun, it's enthralling, it's captivating. And it was just really cool to see that through Twitter. This is why I like social media. This is why I enjoy kind of being a techie guy, and why I kind of enjoy some of the interconnectivity and some of the advent of social media that we see in today's society. Just capture a moment like that of just a ridiculously awesome thing. Just this moment of, hey, this is a cool sport. I really like this sport. This is lit. So that's really fun. And it's hopefully a good positive antithesis to what the Laramie Tunsil situation is. That was the bad of social media. This is the good of social media. This is what social media can be, what I try to use it at Cody Sandusky. Just fun to kind of ramble on about sports, kind of share things that you like. And, you know, in his case, get a lot of attention for it. So, it's really awesome to see that happen. NHL playoffs still going on. We got the Capitals facing the Penguins, so Ovechkin versus Crosby. Of course, two of the faces of hockey, especially in the Eastern Conference for the last number of years. They're going to be the ones. It's going to be a big series going on between those two. The Predators of Nashville moving on to face the Sharks of San Jose. So a lot of fun to be had in that one. The Blues facing the Stars in the second round, as well as the Islanders and the Lightning. So we're seeing some fun action in this one. The Capitals haven't locked down a trophy in a long time. Of course, the Penguins, a perennial favorite. The Islanders had a big run in the 80s, have struggled back and forth since. The Lightning, of course, the Eastern Conference champions and the runners-up of the Stanley Cup last year. The Stars haven't won since 2000. The Blues have never won a cup since they've existed in 1967. They're approaching their 50th year. The Predators have been around since the late 90s. They've never won a cup. And the Sharks, been close a couple times. They've run their way through the Western Conference, but they've never captured a title. So we're seeing some of the mainstays of hockey. You're seeing the Detroits. You're seeing the Chicagos. They're not around right now. You've seen the Rangers eliminated. this is what, again, it's another part of what makes sports fun. You have these teams that aren't your staples. The Kings were eliminated. You're not seeing teams that you expect to see every year. This isn't the Yankees in the mid-90s. This isn't the Bulls in the entire 90s moving into the playoff picture, and you expect if they're not competing for a title, they're winning a title. These are teams that came to the dance, some of them number one, number two, number three seeds in their conference. Some of these teams were expected to do really well in these playoffs. Some of these teams, like the Islanders, like the Predators as the last wild card, weren't necessarily expected to do so, but they're here. And that's what makes it really fun. We're seeing a lot of that in the NHL the last couple of years. Teams is pitching, and of course, the first time that we're not seeing a Canadian team in the playoffs in a number of years, so our friends and neighbors to the north maybe not as excited about this as we are here in the States, but a lot of fun to be had observing that. We're going to wrap things up for this episode of PZ85 Sports. I am Cody Sandusky. We're going to talk about baseball just briefly. Chicago, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Cubs. Yes, I know, Tanner, I'm sorry. Sorry, Billy, for whatever reason. Cubs are the best team in baseball right now. The Chicago White Sox, the best in the American League, nipping right on the heels of the Cubs. So the bums from both sides of Chicago are doing pretty well for themselves. Here in Southeast Missouri, we're not big fans of that for the most part. But it's an interesting just microcosm to see the start of the season that these two teams from the same city, opposite sides of town, of course, the north side and the south side, doing really well. If that's the World Series this year, folks, we may not have any episodes of Podzilla 1985 in 2017. Whatever deity or philosophy or belief system you subscribe to, if Chicago, especially if the Cubs, win the World Series this year, we may not be around because of whatever said deity or philosophy or world-crippling event may happen. So, as we get closer to November, if that does happen, I want to say I appreciate you listening to Podzilla 1985 Sports, and if you hear me rambling in the crumblings underneath the earth that has, imploded or whatever, I hope you enjoy me, as you hear me walking by our, apocalyptic wasteland. But we're going to not talk about so much of sports in terms of competition on the field and the records and whatnot. D. Gordon, second baseman for the Miami Marlins, whose hitting coach is the infamous, and I mean that in every sense of the word, Barry Bonds, the longtime alleged PED user, home run king of baseball with the asterisk beside his home run records for a lot of people due to his situation with Balco and potentially performance-enhancing drugs. D. Gordon was suspended for 80 games for a PED situation. Performance-enhancing drug, he said he did not know or did not knowingly take a performance-enhancing drug. He apologized, he will not appeal. He's going to go ahead and take the punishment. One, if you're Barry Bonds, you got to immediately come out and just say, whoa, 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 wasn't me. You have to take the full Shaggy defense. They caught you shooting in the bathroom. It wasn't me. Caught you injecting on the bench. It wasn't me. Caught you dealing in the parking lot. It wasn't me. They even caught me on camera. It wasn't me. Just to immediately come out and say that. I did not do it. I had no involvement. Don't you pin this on me. Don't you put that demon magic on me, Ricky Bobby. For D. Gordon, you're a second baseman, dude. You won a gold glove last year. You won a silver slugger. You had 50-plus steals last season. Why? And for all athletes who take performance-enhancing drugs, quote-unquote, knowingly or not, why? Part of your responsibility as a multi-million dollar athlete is to know what you're putting in your body at all times, or to at least pay somebody with those multiple millions of dollars to know that and to not take those things. He's losing $1.5 million, I believe, of salary due to this 80-game suspension. Of course, the team comes out and says they don't condone it, but they still support him. When he comes back, he'll be a full-fledged member of the team. They see him being a member of this team and a contributor on this team for the future. So, the Marlins aren't abandoning ship on him. A little surprising given that they fire sale almost everybody sometimes, but that's a different discussion for a different time or whenever they start doing that business again. I will never, ever understand how teams or how players do this. Don't. You have to. I don't care how you do it. Again, pay people. Memorize the banned substance list. Keep it on your phone. Cross-reference the ingredients to whatever you are consuming or putting in your body, whether it be food, whether it be supplements, whether it be protein. Heaven forbid if you're injecting whatever you're injecting. Make sure it is not prohibited by your league. This is 2016. We have almost the whole of human history, the whole of knowledge for humanity at this point, documented in some form or fashion. One of those things is very well what products or pieces or anything, drinks, foods, vitamins, minerals, what they have in them, and what of those items or what of those components of those items are allowed or not allowed by your respective workplace or company. You cannot continue using this defense of I don't know or I didn't knowingly do it. If anything, D. Gordon, you have a guy who's being paid and who you've been studying under all year on how to hit better, who's a living, breathing, walking, talking example of how not knowingly, and yes, I'm using flailing air quotes here behind the microphone, how not knowingly putting something in your body that isn't good or isn't permissible isn't a good defense, and it doesn't save you. It's not going to get this overturned. And while I commend him, D. Gordon, that is, for not fighting it, just saying, yo, I messed up, I'll step aside for 80 games, I'll come back a better player, a better person, clean of anything that I did not knowingly take. That's all well and good. I'm happy. You cannot use the I don't know approach anymore. We're not writing down these statements with stone and chisel. The device with which you dictate your speech or type your speech, maybe an iPhone, maybe an Android, whatever it is, that same device has the capability to look up what you took and what was wrong in it that you took. You cannot use I don't know. I am so sick of hearing athletes say, I don't know what I took. Oopsies, apparently it was bad. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. No. You make millions. Or if you're a college athlete, you're enrolled in an institution worth millions in most cases. There's somebody there who can stop you from having this happen. Use them. Resources, they're a magical thing. The more you know. Again, yeah, we'll wrap up the podcast on that thought. It's frustrating. It is. We ride the highs and lows of sports here on PZ85 Sports, whether it be the competition itself or whether it be the topics surrounding that competition. And today was a very topic-heavy discussion outside of the competition on the field, the court, the pitch, whatever the surface is on which they play sports, the respective sport that you enjoy most. Sometimes it's just headache-inducing. Sometimes it really sucks having to talk about these things because sometimes, like this PED situation, it's really common sense. Know what you're putting in your body. I buy 2% milk from the store and I drink it. I'm pretty sure I know what's in it. Or at least I can read the label to determine what's in it. No, not one of those things is going to get me apprehended at my job. I don't know, folks. Again, what do I know? I'm just a guy talking behind a microphone, rambling on about sports and those who participate in it from an outside perspective. But I do know that I am someone you've been listening to for approximately 53 minutes. And that I'm very glad you've been with us for 53 minutes or so. This is Podzilla 1985 Sports. You can catch it almost every week on Podzilla1985.com. On that website, you can check out our other podcasts, including Sometimes Sunday, Random Sunday, Nerd Up, which the Nerd Up guys and gals are at Indianapolis for the Indiana Comic-Con this weekend. They're supposedly working on an episode out there. Jesse, Asa, Stephanie, and Mandy. Hope they're having a wonderful time. Can't wait to see some of the fun that they have out in Indianapolis for that event. Of course, you've heard Pro Wrestling Unscripted this week for the payback preview. The pay-per-view is coming on this Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe. We hope. We don't know. A couple other podcasts, of course, will be coming up around the bend at the end of this week, the start of next week. Always a lot of fun. Check them all out. There you can check the cast and crew page. Check out all of our Twitter handles. Of course, mine is at Cody Sandusky. Remember, you can go to Podzilla1985.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Buy the memorabilia at redbubble.com. Search Podzilla1985. Support us on Patreon. Patreon.com. Search Podzilla1985. Help us to improve our equipment, our services, and our servers so we can bring better and quality product to you via the airwaves, via your mobile device. Do whatever else you do. So we've got buy the t-shirt, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, find the website, listen to the podcast, buy the memorabilia, give us money on Patreon. I think I've got everything I need to get. Gaming Ground 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs. Okay, we got that. SEMO ESPN, 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday mornings for Saturday Morning Express. We've got that. I think I've plugged everything I've needed to plug. So, about 55 minutes in, we're wrapping up this week. I am Cody Sandusky. Thank you all for tuning in to Podzilla 1985 Sports. We'll be back next week. Discussion of the NFL Draft. Maybe some more in-depth discussion of the NHL or NBA playoffs. Or hey, someone else does something dumb. Or has video leaked of them smoking weed through a gas mask. Or releases very inflammatory and bigot-based responses to a group of people. We'll have it. Because if it's in sports, we talk about it here on Podzilla 1985 Sports. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend and a good week. We'll talk to you soon, folks.